The Irish music in the background. We are at Bloomberg, hosted by Mayor Bloomberg. Antisha and Kenny has spoken, as we just heard. I am delighted to welcome, indeed, Niall Gibbons, who is the World Chief Executive Officer of Tourism Ireland. A very interesting and tremendous presentation there by the Taoiseach.
Yeah, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day to you and to all of your listeners, and delighted to be back in New York again on such an important occasion. To have the Taoiseach here is a great honour. And we just heard the broadcast on Bloomberg. I think the Taoiseach has given a superb overview in relation to where the Irish economy is, all the strength that we've seen, the fastest growing economy in Western Europe, the unemployment rate having come down from 15.2% to 6.5%, the strong trading environment that there is out there at the moment. I think he's outlined what the challenges are as well. Obviously, we have to see where Brexit goes. He's outlined the challenges that there are with regard to the United States. I mean, the very deep relationship that's there, but obviously issues in relation to undocumented. I think it was an excellent summary. And broadcast live here in Bloomberg as well, which is terrific.
Yes. Now, it was a very down-to-earth, realistic approach and analysis by the Taoiseach, and there was no bluff, as we might say in our native Mayo. He didn't sugarcoat anything, and yet there was a positive, probably a theme running through what he was saying, which we're not used to here. What we generally hear is that this is, you know, fire and brimstone and the end of a good relationship with both Britain, you know, with Britain in particular. Taoiseach seemed to leave not only a comfort level, but Ireland is going to hold its own. It is going to, England and Britain is not going to become an enemy, either of the European Union, and definitely will maintain the business relationship and tourism as features of whatever Brexit brings.
I think that's a very important point. I mean, the UK have voted to leave the European Union, and we have to see what happens when Article 50 is triggered. I mean, no one can be absolutely sure. But ultimately, that will be a negotiation between the UK and the EU, not each member state. And I think the Taoiseach has already pointed out, as indeed has the British Prime Minister, that, you know, we want to see a strong UK and the UK wants to see a strong Ireland. We have a mutually beneficial trading arrangement that supports hundreds of thousands of jobs. And in tourism is a very good example of it. The UK is our biggest market in terms of the volume of visitors, although mainland Europeans spend more. What's also interesting is that the North American market, which has gone from strength to strength, which we've talked about over the years, is likely to overtake the UK market in terms of tourism spend. We originally said by 2019, but actually it's quite possible it could do by the end of this year if the growth figures are anything to go by. So I think from a tourism perspective, while there are risks that may arise from Brexit, from things like the movement of currencies and currency fluctuation, from things like the common travel area, visa arrangements that we have with the UK that operate in markets like China and India, we'll have to see how those resolve themselves. But for now, it's about putting out the positive message that is seen in the video that was played at the end here.
Yes.
Well, there are the great things to see and do in Ireland from a tourism perspective.
Yes. On tourism, and particularly with respect to what we're struggling with in the United States with the new administration, do you see any negative aspects to... Will tourism from North America, might it be negatively affected, or is that another barroom rumor?
I think it's always very hard to put your finger on you know, whether it will be affected or not, because you have to understand that political developments aren't the things that motivate, you know, people to travel. People are looking to experience authentic experiences. They're looking to meet, you know, people from different destinations. They're looking to spend time with friends and loved ones. And ultimately, the biggest drivers of tourism business will be the strength and the underlying strength of the economy and consumer confidence. What we've seen last year is an increase in American outbound travel into mainland Europe. Although business into Europe as a whole was only up 2% last year, business to Ireland was up 11%. What that's reflecting really is that there were a number of atrocities within Europe last year in countries like France and Belgium and Turkey, and that certainly impacted on safety and security perceptions in those countries. Ireland being perceived as a very safe destination and therefore growing significant market share and being a big beneficiary of outbound American travel. Another major factor that plays into our space as well is the whole area of air access capacity. And we've seen now over the last number of years a substantial increase in the amount of lift into Ireland. Over the last number of years on your show, we've been here when we've seen Aer Lingus launch new routes from LA and San Francisco. Last year, Hartford, Connecticut, and also Newark. And this year, Aer Lingus will launch a new gateway in Miami. And just in the last month alone, then, we've seen the announcement by Norwegian Airlines of the two new routes that will go out from Rhode Island and also Stewart International in New York. And we'll see those flying into Belfast, Shannon, Cork, and Dublin, which is fantastic.
On Norwegian, obviously, it's great news, you know, for those who may have had, difficulty and who may have found it very inconvenient to fly to places like Canada, to whatever. But it is not, hopefully, the Norwegian access to Ireland will not discourage a lot of airlines that have, in fact, shown a tremendous interest in Ireland and have actually, they've bit the bullet in that. Is it an exaggeration to think that Norwegian might, in fact, have some kind of a negative effect on the major airlines?
No, I think for this year anyway, we're certainly going to see increased competition, which is a good thing, more competitive pricing, which is a good thing for the consumer. Certainly the airline industry in general, not just in North America, but across the globe, is suffering real pressure on yields. There's no doubt about that. So we're quite lucky to have some really well-established airlines, you know, flying into Ireland who are not in financial difficulty. So that's very encouraging. I think with Norwegian, what they've done is that they've taken a new generation of aircraft, which is very fuel efficient. It has changed the game to some extent and offers the prospect of further expansion into North America in years to come if that model works. Aer Lingus, for example, have about 7 or 8 of those aircraft on order. So that gives the prospects for greater expansion into the future. So I think it's really encouraging that from the United States alone now, you're looking at 15 gateways this year, in excess of 55,000 seats every single week during the summer months. And as long as the economy goes in the right direction, people will still want to travel. People still have a strong view, a strong passionate view that they want to visit Ireland at some point, and the job that the team here have to do is really to convert that passion and intention to go down.
We the rumour mill, again, we're not short of rumours, as you might imagine, particularly over the last few months, but that perhaps Ireland, one of the great attractions to Ireland might be that the pre-clearance from Ireland, people don't have to worry, about leaving the European country. Many of those who fly to Ireland are comfortable enough to go onward and then come back through Ireland. What do your own figures show with respect to visitors to Ireland who might, in fact, be just getting to Ireland, moving on and coming back because of pre-clearance advantages?
Well, look, there is an element of people who do travel through Ireland to go to other destinations. We do know that. But you have to put that against the backdrop of a situation where 6 years ago, Dublin Airport had 19 million passengers. Last year, they had 28 million passengers. So that's a 9 million increase. Certainly, it's only a small number of those that are going through to transit. I mean, we know that during the winter months, for example, from certain transatlantic routes, that there will be a significant proportion during the winter, perhaps even half of the customers sometimes transit on. But it's important that the route gets sustained. It's much better to have a route 12 months round than only have to have a route for 6 months round and not being able to travel in the winter. So anything that helps to sustain a route is a good thing. I think the pre-clearance facility is an amazing amazing advantage that we have.
Yes.
Abu Dhabi received it recently. There's no other country in Europe that has it, and it makes us a much more attractive destination. And what it does as well, when you look around the landscape of Europe, in places particularly like London, which suffers from major airport congestion, it almost means that Dublin becomes an extension of that. And that's good news, because now we're talking about, we're not talking about actually, planning permission was granted for a second runway at Dublin Airport. That will be built within the next 5 years, which gives Dublin Airport the capacity to expand substantially in years ahead.
Tourism Ireland remains, and of course was the first body, national body, to cater to the island of Ireland. When everybody, when even everybody at a business level was saying, you know, we have it's enough for us to take care of the Republic of Ireland, and we don't want to be in the midst of what was a troubled Northern Ireland. Tourism Ireland took the bull by the horns and marketed at a time which was highly controversial at the time, just decided to market the island of Ireland. Are there worries now that with respect to Brexit and where that would leave Northern Ireland? Is there an acceptance that perhaps that might rattle some of the tourism features for Northern Ireland?
I'm not so worried, because again, you have to think of the world from a consumer's perspective as opposed to our own, and what's their motivation for coming to Ireland. People won't be coming to Ireland, you know, because of Brexit for their holidays, so to speak. They're coming to experience the genuine, you know, really friendly people, the scenery, the culture. I suppose the interesting thing from a Northern Ireland perspective is that it has experienced an incredible tourism renaissance over the last number of years. Titanic Belfast was voted the world's leading visitor attraction by international consumers. It welcomed its 3.5 million visitors during March 2017, and it wasn't there 5 years ago. The Irish Open is coming to Fort Stewart. It's the third time it's in Northern Ireland in the last number of years. And the Open, the British Open, will be coming to Royal Fort Rush, I should say, in 2019. We have the Women's Rugby World Cup semi-finals and finals in Belfast this year. We've had Game of Thrones success from a screen tourism perspective. So, I mean, we know the Giant's Causeway welcomed 950,000 visitors last year, which is a phenomenal number. So it's been great, great success. And when you look at markets like mainland Europe and North Americans, about 70% of those visitors to Northern Ireland come via the Republic of Ireland. So a lot of people coming on holidays to Northern Ireland coming via Dublin. So the integrated all-island marketing approach is really the best way forward for the benefit of that industry. And there's no better evidence of that than when you look at Belfast right now and see in excess of 1,700 bedrooms under construction for the hotel industry, which will open in the next 18 months.
On this St. Patrick's Day, around the world, a crazy notion which you rolled by this program several years ago about how on St. Patrick's Day, you know, most of the world would be only too delighted to light up green, which at the time I let you away with. The significance throughout the world, and particularly in North America, of having the greening of buildings, the Empire State Building, and around the world again. But to have this year the world icon in America, One World Trade Center, turning green for the day, that has to have a very special place, you know, in your own evaluation and in that notion that you came up with. I think that probably this is a big one, and something to be very proud of.
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, just by way of background, the Global Greening Project started in 2010 with the greening of the Sydney Opera House, which was one of the anniversaries of the arrival of the Irish in Australia, and very much a diaspora type concept. And it went from strength to strength to the point where, you know, the London Eye, the Colosseum, Leaning Tower of Pisa, the Statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil, Empire State Building. There'll be about 275, maybe up to 300, as they've been added on all the time by the time the day is over. Shining a light in Ireland for all the right reasons. I sometimes use an example of the Statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil. which has been lit up green by the Archbishop of Rio de Janeiro. And the reason why he allowed that happen was because of the work that Irish missionaries did over 100 years ago for the poor in that country. I think in relation to the World Trade Center, it's a very emotive one, actually. The Taoiseach will be down with us this evening to turn the lights green today. And I think with what's happened on that site and its association with Ireland, makes it a very powerful reminder of the relationship between Ireland and North America. And the 2,600 people that died down there on that fateful day many years ago, their memory will be had a light shining on tonight as well, with that light is pressed green by the Taoiseach later on this evening.
Can we go back to a time when you were predicting that numbers of visitors from North America might one day reach a million visitors, from North America? And that was another idea that was slightly ahead of the greening, your greening project, but something happened along the way to make that not only a reality, but here we are with now heading for, a double figure of that in the next few years.
Yeah, the growth has been spectacular, and the team here in North America, led by Alison Metcalf, have done a superb job of really telling the story of Ireland with less resources, I might add, just given the cutbacks that have taken place in government spend. But they've been very resourceful, really done a great job, made everyone very proud. And we last year saw 1.6 million people coming from North America, spending about $1.5 billion. The tourism industry in Ireland now employs 263,000 people across the whole island, north and south. And that's a very powerful contributor to economic regeneration. Tourism has actually been the fastest growing industry in terms of job creation over the last number of years. And our colleagues in the IDA do a great job too, but more jobs have been created in tourism than foreign direct investment, for example. So, now we're doing a review of the North American market. We're keen to see now how we can push the boundaries out. Alison is involved in a review looking out to 2025. Yes. That'll be finished by the end of the summer. But certainly we now are looking at how we can push that 1.6 million with all that we know. Perhaps, we could be realising a figure of 2 million when I come back next time.
Okay, that's a good note to end on, because I'm not going to take you on with that one. I thought the million was a wild exaggeration, so I don't want to be wrong twice in a row. It's great to spend the time with you, and indeed to look at the great effect that tourism from North America is contributing to the economy in Ireland, and we're delighted with it. Long way at last.
Well, thank you very much, and it's great to be on the show. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I could leave with a little jibe after all. We didn't mention the Mayo football team. The question really would be, will we get 2 million visitors to Ireland first, or will Mayo win the All-Ireland here? What do you think?
I can get in trouble either way here, so, this might even be the year. And, if the Taoiseach is hanging on, he's hanging on for something. I mean, this will be a good reason to hang in. It looks good.
Okay, well, I'll come back in September then. I need my hat if I get it wrong.
All right. Niall Givens, CEO, Friends of Tourism Ireland Worldwide, on this St. Patrick's Day.